Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hi, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all, episode 319. I'm Adam Walker.
And I'm Sanjay Parekh.
And this episode is brought to you by Together Letters and Edgewise. Together Letters to keep you connected with the people that matter because nobody else does. So is that that's a good tagline? I just wanted to workshop it, you know, just see what happens.
I like that. I will say, if you have not used Together Letters yet, you should.
Yeah,
because there really are working. Hordes of people Dude, signing up.
It's going crazy
every single day. Something crazy has happened. We don't know what because we've not been marketing it. But we are getting tons and tons of people and people sending in. Actually, I kind of like the support tickets that come in.
Yeah, they're helpful.
And I see some of
gives
some
insight.
Of them are nice.
Yeah.
People asking for things like, hey, is this only on the paid version? No, that's not on the paid version. That doesn't
exist. The images. They want to share images. And I'm like, well,
they
just
share images.
You can share links to images. Does that count? Kind of.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
I've got some ideas about how we could do images in the future, but maybe it does like become that. Only a paid thing.
Could be interesting.
That images-y part. But,
yeah. Well,
fun stuff.
In this episode, we're going to talk about some electric vehicles, we're going to talk about some AI, and we're going to talk about some other innovative stuff, plus weird and wacky and tech recs at the end. I've got a fun tech rec coming for you, so I just want you to enjoy your life, so I'm going to try to help with that. But to start out, let's get rolling. Tesla charging woes in the Arctic cold snap blamed on inadequate battery preconditioning. I don't know what that means. What exactly does that mean?
So apparently Teslas and maybe other electric vehicles, I don't really know, have a thing that the battery has to be at a certain temperature to fully accept a charge as quickly as possible, right? So if the battery's too cold, it's not going to charge that quickly.
Right.
So a lot of these people are like, look, I plugged in for 2 hours and it still shows zero. Well, apparently what they didn't do is precondition their battery so that when they got to the charging spot, the battery was already warmed up so that it could accept the power quick enough.
Okay.
So in those 2 hours of when it was just sitting there, basically it was doing that. It was sitting there using that power to warm up the battery so then it could charge it up.
So then it could charge it.
Right?
Okay.
Exactly. So that the battery doesn't get damaged. So a lot of these folks are complaining about something that they should have done themselves. Or if they had set on the car, Tesla's apparently, if you set the location to the destination to be a charging, it automatically starts warming up the battery on its own.
Interesting.
But what it seems like is some of these folks maybe let their battery get down to way too low.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then there wasn't enough juice to do this preconditioning stuff.
Okay.
I think there were some other problems too. We talked about this last week. I think there were some other problems with like water getting infiltrated into the cables and things like that and frozen and all kinds of stuff. But you know, when it's way too cold or way too hot, things don't work that well. So,
speaking of things not working well, what's the next article, Sunday?
Yeah, results, another Tesla story, results of Cybertruck's carrot test is leaving people concerned with their safety.
Did you watch the videos?
I was not able to watch the video. It wouldn't pop up for me.
Okay, let me just describe this for a minute. So like Rivian or like even any car, like standard car, you know, you got the tailgate raised.
Standard car.
Well, you know, like newer car, you got the tailgate raised, you press the button, the tailgate auto goes down. There are sensors that detect if like a finger gets caught and so it won't continue going down and squish your finger.
Right.
The Cybertruck does not have those sensors and it also has the whole like stainless steel exterior sharp edges thing going for it. So not only will it continue to close, it will straight up cut off your fingers. Like I saw there was like a dude stuck a carrot in there and snapped it off. Hot dogs in there, snapped them off. And then it compared it with like a Rivian and showed it and like the Rivian, you know, bounced right back. Like it detected the...
From the carrot.
From the whatever it was, carrot or hot dog or whatever. And so like they did the test on the front truck, they did the test on the back, various places. And now every time there's an auto close, it will straight up cut off your fingers. So that is terrifying. Me.
That's maybe gonna have to be a recall. And also, why was that not tested?
I feel like it's like it's one of the most basic safety features. I mean, it's in like cars like 2015 and up. Like we're
right.
9 years ago. It's been in these cars. Like what is happening
car does
right
that.
Now?
Like if it starts closing, like it'll pop back open again.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. Anyway, so beware of your fingers. So, all right. Harvard claims, quote, Holy Grail EV battery breakthrough. But when will we see it? So the breakthrough they're claiming is a solid state battery. So it's what, a lithium battery, not lithium ion. Is that the difference?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And it's
lithium
got
metal.
It can carry way more charge, go way longer, blah, 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 blah. But we don't know the details. So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
all I got.
Yeah, we don't know when we're actually going to see it in real life. But they say at the end, and we've talked about this before, Toyota is one of the closest automakers to deploy solid state tech. And even it doesn't expect to have enough next gen batteries for more than 10,000 cars in 2030.
Right.
I thought they were going to deploy more cars than that sooner. I thought one of the articles we talked about was sooner than
that.
It
was like coming out really soon. Like, you should wait on the EV because solid state's on the way. I think solid state might be further off than we like it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I still probably would not buy an EV straight out and instead do a lease because
I think
at the end of that, it's not going to be as useful. You know, three years in, that battery is going to be all dorked up.
All wonky. It's going to be
all wonky.
Yeah,
I don't want any wonky batteries. And somebody else that doesn't want wonky batteries, the U.S. Postal Service's new EV chargers are here. So they are going out and actually this happened here in Atlanta. I don't know why they don't send us the invites to come to these things. I would have gone to this thing.
I mean, we could cover it, man. We could do a live broadcast.
Yeah. Live
what
tech talk, y'all, where we make jokes about the thing that you're plugging things into. We can ask things about, like, yeah, when's it going to catch on fire? Yeah, that's probably the reason why they don't invite us to these things.
It's not a mail truck. It's a fire truck. All right, guys.
Fire, fire. I just channeled some Beavis and Butthead, I think.
Oh, my God.
I never watched that show, but I watched that show.
Of course I did. It was
I never watched that show.
It was really funny.
Yeah. I think this is actually a huge deal because if you think about how much pollution happens in like big cities like Atlanta.
Oh yeah, because the mail truck. We talked about it. Yeah.
Fleets that exist that just, I mean, these vehicles travel 20 feet and then they sit there and idle for 30 seconds.
Yeah, they do.
Until they go to the next house. Like, let's convert them over to electric. And then you see these post offices and the huge real estate footprint that they have.
Yeah,
stick some solar panels on that. Let's charge these babies up.
Okay, you know what I really want to see from the mail carriers? I want to see a truck that drops a mail carrier off at the front of a suburban neighborhood on one of those little like one wheel, like wheelie thingies that's really fast. And I just want to see him lean forward on that one, that thing just fly mailbox to mailbox, just jamming stuff in, just go, 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 go. Like it's a race. like it's the greatest race or something. I don't even know. That's what I want to see. I'd like to see
the greatest
that
race,
like the amazing race or the
amazing race
I don't even know the name of it.
The Amazing Race. I think that's what you're talking about, where they go from country to country.
Yeah, just like that, except it's house to house, it's mailbox to mailbox. It's mono and mono.
The one that's the last to arrive is off the show. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right.
That would be actually a fun thing. I think they should think about
it. Call it the Mail Carrier Daily Challenge, you know, like, and they can have like live stream it. Like, you'd have favorite mail carriers. Like, you compete. I mean, come on. This is great.
I mean, if you could make it a competition like that, maybe that would solve their hiring woes too. People would be like, "Oh, I want to do that. I want to become a postal influencer."
And if you add in like dogs, it could be like American Ninja Warrior, but like, you know, going like house to house, like avoid the dogs, jump the fence, hop the curb, whatever. All right, I'm gonna stop now. Next up in this section, then we'll move on to AI. Kite Power's wind energy system fits in a shipping container. What did I just read? Wind energy system. What is a wind energy system, Sanjay?
It's basically a kite.
Okay.
And this thing will release the kite and then pulls it back in. And this pumping action, so the entire cycle takes 100 seconds. It says 80 for reel out and 20 for reel in.
Right.
It actually generates energy doing this.
What? Seriously?
Yeah. So
okay. That seems weird to me that like you can, because you'd think the reeling it in would take as much or more energy than the letting it out. You would imagine, but I guess not somehow.
Yeah. Somehow it doesn't. And there's a net energy. I don't know how it works because the thing that you're talking about is like the conservation of energy, right? Like you can't have a perpetual motion machine.
Right.
Right. Like you lose things in friction and things like that.
Right.
Like, I don't understand how the pull in
Because it feels like then it becomes a perpetual motion machine. Like that's right? What it, like if you're gaining energy from it, but okay.
But maybe because it's the wind, that's the wind is the thing that.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't really maybe understand. So.
All right.
Science at all. I don't apparently. Something else that I don't understand is how this is possible that he doesn't have a good answer for this. But Sam Altman was asked what humans would do better than AI, and he didn't have a convincing answer. How is the end of that surprising to anybody?
I think if I'm recalling correctly, wasn't his answer humans will make decisions about the world? Isn't that what he said? Like,
I think so.
Can we be a little like, we're going to make decisions about what should happen in the world. What does that even mean? Like, I don't know.
Until the AI controls the nukes and then they
bomb
us like what happens in Terminator.
It's so crazy. I mean, I'll tell you, man, ChatGPT just gets better and better. I'm using it more and more on a daily, I'm on the pro plan.
Just be a cog in the machine that causes the destruction of humanity.
Listen, man, me and ChatGPT, if we're BFFs, I'm going to be good to go. Like, if you're BFFs with the machine that's killing everybody, you're okay, right?
That's the way it worked in Terminator. Like, they killed.
Yeah, Terminator had a best friend that was like a dude. You don't remember that guy?
not the other Terminators,
one that was killing the humans. He didn't like any of them. That's true.
You're talking about the one-off. You're pinning your entire hopes on the one-off Terminator.
Yeah. More importantly, the Arnold Schwarzenegger version, right? That's best version of Terminator. Like, there's no better. I don't care if the other one can turn into liquid metal and shapeshift. He's still not better than the Arnold Schwarzenegger old school version. Never gonna happen. I'm just saying. We can argue. You want to fight? We can go.
I'm good. I'm gonna save up my fighting for the Terminators, not for you. So yeah. next up, it's actually you, but I'm gonna do it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're just expecting
I'm
it's
pointing
me,
to you. I'm so. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. My bad.
Are you gonna go?
All right. Great. AI can forge your handwriting now, and I'm concerned. Here's my question. Right. Did anybody ever think that AI was not going to be able to forge your handwriting? It's like one of the more simple tasks for AI. Like, if AI can create an image of the Pope wearing a Balenciaga, but whatever that jacket is, I don't even whatever Balenci- that that's the one.
Yeah, that one.
If it can create that, I'm pretty sure it can duplicate.
Clearly,
my
neither you
chicken
or
scratch.
I own one of those. Balenciaga.
I don't know the name of it anymore.
Yeah,
I should. Yeah.
Well, I don't understand why handwriting is the point now where you're concerned.
That's
when
true too.
There's videos and audios that it can fake of you. Mm. And that didn't concern you.
Speaking of, I saw a great article that showed Donald Trump and Joe Biden like they were an old married couple, like doing crafts together in the kitchen. And it looked so legit. I was like, oh my gosh, this whole political landscape is going to be so bad. And then, I mean, it's just going to be so bad. I just can't even.
What do you even believe? And for most people, they don't even understand what's happening. And
right. Right. I mean, in all fairness, I don't understand what's happening, but at least I can look at it and go, oh, that's AI. Like, I got that much. I don't have much more, but I got that much.
Yeah. So. I think for a lot of people, like, there's discussion about AI happening all the time, right?
Right.
In the news and things like that. There's a lot of people that still don't listen to that stuff or right. know any of that stuff.
That's true.
And then they're like, they see these things and they're like, oh, well, that must be real.
Must be real.
It's a photo. I mean,
I saw a photo. I saw a video. It's got the right voice. Must be real.
Must be real. Something else that is going to be real at some point, I hope. Scientists use TV tech to test light-powered internet connections that can be 100 times faster than Wi-Fi.
Dang.
Yes, bring it on.
And they're calling it, wait. They're calling it Li-Fi. Li-Fi.
Light fidelity. Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense.
I think we've talked about this technology before, but it sounds like it's even getting closer now to be able to be used. What's interesting, you know, I started thinking about this. There's some interesting things with this, and there's definitely some use cases of doing this. So if you think about your house, you've got Wi-Fi signals, and they emanate from outside of the house too, because you can't control where those radio signals want to go.
Right.
So somebody could be driving around and pick up your Wi-Fi signal, and if you're not secured it properly, or if they hack into it, you know, they have access to your network. Well, if it's the light in your room, they got to be in your room.
Yeah.
And if they're already in your room, then.
Or creeping up outside your window if the blinds are open, which is like, that's like next level creepy right there.
So. That is pretty creepy, but hopefully the sunlight outside kind of helps block that somewhat too.
That's true.
But it's pretty interesting. And even more so, the 100 times faster than Wi-Fi, that's pretty fascinating as well.
I feel like we're getting into like some of those like dystopian sci-fi sort of books. It's like, what, the signal's coming from the light bulb? You know, like it's just like wait, what now? What'd you say? You know, like
it feels coming from inside the house.
Yeah, like that's what it feels like. It's like it feels a little dystopian to me. But I mean, I'm cool with it. I'm cool. I'll try it.
So, but if you think about it, I mean, if you extend that thought process, I mean, you know, we've started talking about landing people on Mars.
Yeah.
Think about how do you have wireless communications inside of a spaceship? Like if you can do it with light. That's probably better than sending out radio waves and dorking up things.
We don't want to tip off the aliens. I mean,
exactly, that we're coming. Like, keep all the data inside.
Yeah, that's right. Don't tip those guys off, those girls, alien guys. I don't know, peoples. right, next up, drinking carbon monoxide infused foam supercharges cancer therapy in mice. Now, okay, you tagged this. I just want to make sure I read this correctly. Did they say that they noticed this because they noticed that smokers were responding better to trials than non-smokers?
Yes.
Because like, that's gotta be
crazy.
Like, that's gotta be the that's the moment where as a scientist, you're like, I give up. I don't understand anything. Like what in the world? You know, like anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They saw some effects for people that were smokers where drugs were better interacting and dealing with cancer than with non-smokers. And they were like, well, that's weird.
That's
and so then they figured out a way to make carbon monoxide foam, which I still don't really understand this.
Sounds terrifying to me.
That you drink a drinkable foam that's safe, that's carbon monoxide.
Yeah.
It led to a significant reduction in tumor growth and progression. I don't think they still understand how or why this is happening.
Right.
But the fact that they're seeing this happen means that there's something there. The body's doing something. It clearly just goes against to show we have no idea what we're doing.
I mean, like it just
so
goes
much
to show
medical
like,
stuff, we know nothing.
And that's what they call the practice of medicine, right? Because like we still, like it's still very mysterious. Like we don't, just drink some of that carbon monoxide foam. Let's see what happens, Joe. You know, I don't know why Joe's my test subject, but
and seems also like a good name for a test subject. Who signs up for this? Like, hey, we've got some carbon monoxide foam for you to drink along with these pills. What do you think? Right? Like, we've always been told, don't turn on the car in a closed garage. Carbon monoxide's bad for you. We've got, you know, carbon monoxide detectors in the house, the whole thing. Oh, but it's but
drink
fine.
It.
Drink this foam that has.
Or like, you know, do you want foam in your latte? Carbon monoxide? What kind? What kind
carbon
do you want?
Carbon monoxide?
You know, I don't know.
You know, that's going to be the next. They have these oxygen bars.
Yeah.
You know,
carbon monoxide foam bars.
The next
rage
is get carbon monoxide foam balls.
Ooh, we need to
fight your cancer with some carbon monoxide foam. Yeah. And we can get people there and then give them a different experience using Apple's Vision Pro headset. So Apple might have sold up to 180,000 Vision Pro headsets over pre-order weekend. Which sounds like a lot, but if you start digging into the article, they're like, it doesn't sound
a lot. I did the math. It's $630 million worth of headsets. So like, that ain't bad. You know, like, it's pretty good.
But maybe that's the market. That's the entire market. Because they said that the shipping date did not continue to extend after pre-order weekend. So normally what would have happened is people would keep ordering these things and the delivery date would keep pushing out. They've seen that with the iPhone and things like
interesting.
That. That has not happened with this device,
which
means that maybe they've already saturated the market.
Well, I think there's two things that are going against them right now. One is I feel like, so when the iPhone launched, right, the market was just absolutely ready for that innovation and everybody wanted it. I don't think that's where the market is with VR, AR headsets yet. I think it's close, but I don't think it's quite there. And I think it's probably not quite there because people really have trouble visualizing and understanding how useful it can be and how it can be used and how effective it can be, right? So there's that. So I think they've got to get something in the market to sort of pave the way. But then secondarily is the price. Like I love Apple stuff. and I will spend money on Apple stuff. I am not going to spend, at least not at this moment in time, $3,500 on a headset. Now, if I got to try one out and you could prove to me that I'd be like five times more productive in my work and it could be a business expense, maybe I'd consider it. But aside from that, I can't fathom why I would spend that kind of money, right?
I can prove to you that you'll probably look like a dork.
That is 100% true. That's 100% true. Yeah. But I mean, in all fairness, I kind of do anyway. So like, it's cool. Like I'm a dork. I'm a dork with a hat. I'm a dork with a hat and a headset. I mean, yeah, it's like, it's yeah. What level of dork you want to be?
Of dork.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Is it higher or a lower level of dork?
I feel like once you put a headset on, especially in public, you're going up to a pretty high level. What I'm waiting for, honestly, is to see a Vision Pro headset on an airplane. Like, that's what I'm waiting for. We're going to see in the very near future. I mean, heck, I got to fly somewhere next month. Maybe it'll happen. I don't know. But like, it's going to happen. Vision Pro on an airplane for
sure. You're
not
going to see it next month. I will tell you, the first time I saw a Kindle in the wild, this is over a decade ago, obviously.
Yeah.
It was like a marvel. I was like, oh my God. They actually exist and people are using them out in the real world. Now you see them, it's like, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, same thing with the iPhone. Like the first, your first friend that got an iPhone, like, oh, let me see that. That's amazing. Yeah. It can do what? You can go to the internet? What?
So and there's crazy. No wires.
There's no wires. You don't have to plug it in. All right. There you go.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
He's not an expert.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot.
All right, this isn't technology related, but I thought it was weird and I don't know. I just tagged it. So Applebee's $200 date night pass sold out in 1 minute. So apparently Applebee's had a thing where for $200 for the year, you could go on one date a week, one dinner date a week with your person. And it sold out.
Not exactly.
No?
One day
did
a week.
Did I misunderstand that?
It was 52 times.
Okay.
And you could only use it once in a 24-hour period. So in theory, you could have bought this thing.
That's true. Yeah.
And for the next month and a half or so, a little just over.
Eating there once a day.
You could have just had a solid Applebee's meal every single day.
That's true.
You could have been the Jared of Applebee's.
Yeah. And I mean, I think there was a price limit on like what you could get there for that, right?
$30 of food.
Yeah. But I mean, still like
beverages. So if you do the math, it's like $1,500. $1,560.
Yeah.
Of food
for $200.
For $200, which is not a bad deal.
That's a good deal if you're willing to eat at Applebee's, and that's really the question.
If you're okay eating at Applebee's.
Yeah.
When was the last time you ate at Applebee's?
It was probably on a road trip with my dad and one of my kids, and that kid, I think he's 16 now. I want to say he was like 8 or 7 then. So, 9 or 10 years ago, something like that.
I think my last time at Applebee's is longer than that. I mean, it's
so, I mean, I feel 15, like, I feel like as adults, you sort of evolve through different phases of restaurant tourism. Right. So you could sort of argue that my wife and I's first date was sort of at Applebee's. We were like studying and we're like, hey, you want to go eat? Like, so yeah, you go to Applebee's, like, okay, whatever. We're college students. But then you get married and maybe you start going less to those places and then less and less. And then, now we kind of just go to like local places pretty much. So, I think it just sort of evolves, at least for me, over time. So,
I think that's right. But obviously it's still popular enough that within a minute, all of these sold out.
Yeah.
Did they say how many they were selling? I don't know.
No, they weren't clear on that, but that's a pretty good,
but they got good press out of it. So somebody else that's getting good press, study finds Bigfoot sightings correlate with black bear populations. Go figure.
I mean, I only read the title of this article.
Yeah. I haven't read the article either.
Because I was like, duh. Like that was it. Like that was the whole thing. Like you had to do a study for that? Like, really? Come on. Like you're joking, right? Like it felt goofy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, black bears will stand up on their hind legs. And from far away, that could look like a Bigfoot.
They got big feet.
And they're big animals. Yeah. And you don't want to be on the receiving end of a black bear. So
that's right.
Tech wreck, time to get your tech wreck.
Tech wreck. Chicky.
Tech wreck.
All right, Adam, it's Tech Rec time. What do you have for us this week?
All right, I'm going to recommend the game Mario Wonder on the Nintendo Switch. It's been on my kind of tech rec list for a while. We've had it with the kids for a long time. And it's kind of like this cross between original 2D Mario and like a little bit of a 3D element to the later Mario, but not being all weird 3D. And so it's a little more, it's a little more similar to the original game, which means I like it a lot more than I do some of the other ones. So it's been fun playing with the kids, goofing off, you know, whatever else. The Switch in and of itself is a great device. If you don't have one and you got kids, the Switch is pretty much where it's at. So worth considering. How about you, Sanjay? What you got for us?
So I went stumbling around. I realized I was looking at my Spotify liked list and there were duplicate songs all up in there. And I was like,
I've had that same problem. Yeah.
I started to try to remove them. I was like annoyed by it. I was like, there's got to be a better way than this.
Yeah.
And I found and stumbled upon a site, Spotify Dedupe.
Okay.
So you can auth it against your Spotify account and it will deduplicate all of your likes automatically. It's open source. I haven't actually used it yet. I will tell you.
Okay.
Because I wanted to run it locally. But if you don't want to run it locally, there is a website online that you can just use it. Use Spotify. I don't know what they're doing with your data. I don't think anything nefarious because it's all published on GitHub,
right?
The entire thing. So I think it's a legit site and you can just go in and deduplicate all your likes and thin out your likes so that, you know, when you listen to your likes, I've had this happen. I hear the song. I'm like, oh yeah, I love this song. And then four songs later, it's a song again. I'm like, I just listened to this song.
Right, right.
And then go in and look in your likes. And it's like, oh, because you like the song.
Listen.
The same song multiple times.
I have a much bigger problem with my Spotify likes. Oh, okay. Well, so here's what you got to know. Okay?
Okay.
So for the longest time, my Spotify account was connected to the Google Home in the kitchen, which meant that every time the kids played a song and then liked it, it goes in my Spotify light. So there's like all kinds of like Veggie Tales and like all kinds of crazy crap in there. And I'm like, come on, man. Like so I've been actually actively listening to Spotify lately, specifically to the like list and unliking things left and right just to try to clean that junk up because it's so crazy. So we're good.
Yeah, the recommendations don't really work when you have them all junked up like that.
Oh, man.
Well, I guess they do work. They just don't work the way you'd like them to work.
The worst. So, all right, Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can find me at sanjayparekh.com. What about you, Adam?
You can find me on my website, adamjwalker.com. Sign up for my newsletter. I'm posting on it a lot more these days, so check it out.